as way of introduction to the topic itself. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Peter here gives a statement to the believers scattered abroad, saying, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." This topic came to my mind a number of times over the last year, and it's the topic of virtue. It's something that when we talk about virtue, usually we think about the days of chivalry from the Middle Ages when virtue had a value in society. Now you talk about virtues and you think that it's an archaic term. It's an archaic principle for a person to have virtue. Because we live in a society where virtue is disdained. Rather, if you're a good liar, if you're a fornicator, I mean, look at our leaders, whether political or otherwise, and virtue is not a highly held value. But God says that he has called us unto virtue. And many books have been written about the Christian virtues, and I'm not going to review all those things or even go through all the virtues listed. If you read through the rest of that chapter in 1st or in 2nd Peter, you would find a list of virtues that follow one another, that we're to add to our lifestyle. Rather, I want to look at one virtue that I think is necessary for us in the day in which we live, because we live in the day described by Paul in 2 Timothy of ungodliness. And specifically, amongst the society and amongst even a closer society of Christianity, where they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And so they have this outward facade of virtue, of Christian virtue, but they lack the real root and depth of it that Christ desires for us to have. And so I think it's necessary for us to really examine some of these virtues and see, do they have a place in our life? Do we exemplify the Christ-like virtue that is so direly lacking in the world in which we live? And it falls hand in hand with the idea of being light to this world and being salt to the earth. Because the world wants to look and see something different. When they see ungodliness and they see immorality as the norm, and they look to a person and find virtue and godliness and holiness, then that by itself raises the question of, why is this person like that? So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 17. We're going to read a story that exemplifies the first virtue that we're going to look at. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, it's this account of 10 lepers. In verse 11, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that guides us, Lord, that convinces us of sin, the Lord that shows us the true virtue of Jesus Christ, Lord, that leads us to be like him. We ask that your word and your spirit would find place in our lives and our hearts today. or that your work would be done and that you would be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The virtue, as you may have guessed, that we're going to consider is the virtue of thankfulness or of gratitude. Many of us, I'm sure, maybe all of us, know or have the experience of knowing someone who's just an ungrateful person. No matter what you do, they're not thankful. My dad used to say, you know, he wouldn't be happy if he was hung with a new rope, and I never understood it, but, you know, the idea was, is, you know, even if you try and give him what he asked for, he still thinks he's being hung. They're just those people who, no matter what you do, I mean, they could win $1 million and say, I wanted two. They're never happy. They're never satisfied. They're never thankful. They're never grateful. I mean, somebody can go totally out of their way and it, you know, means nothing to them. And if you know that type of person, and many of us do, it's just not pleasant to be around them. They don't make you feel welcome. They don't make you feel happy. They're usually themselves quite grumpy and unhappy people, because they're just not happy. They're just not thankful. And Paul says that one of the attributes of the ungodly in the last days will be that they are unthankful. And we see that. We see so much of that in our society. And I'm afraid to say that it affects us. It creeps into our lives, the idea of what does it mean to be unthankful? That we look at things and we take it for granted. We just think that, yeah, that's the way it should be. Well, I deserve that because I'm an American. Go to some other places in the world and you'll come back and think America is the greatest place on the planet. Because they're just things we take for granted that we don't know that we should be thankful for them, because we don't know what we have. I'm not saying that as a country. I'm saying that more to us as individuals. And so there's three quick points that I want to consider as we look at how can we be or exemplify the virtue of thankfulness in our Christian life. The first is to know what is the source of thankfulness. If the ungodly don't have it, that means they're lacking some type of something that they don't have that doesn't make them thankful. What is the source of a person to be thankful? Secondly, how do I practice that? What does it look like for me to actually engage in a thankful lifestyle? And thirdly, what is the fruit? What can I expect if I practice that type of thankfulness and gratefulness? How will it affect my life? Because the virtues that Christ asks us to exemplify are not done just so he says, okay, you're being good and obedient. It's so that we produce fruit and that our fruit would remain. First of all, the source. As we look back at this story, or as this event in Luke chapter 17, I see two important aspects of thankfulness that's exemplified by these lepers, whether the lone leper or the nine others. In this case, these 10 lepers, they were in the same boat. They had the exact same situation, whether it was the one who turned back or the other nine who seemed not to care at all. They were in the same situation beforehand. They were lepers. And it's not ironic or coincidental that these men were lepers. Leprosy, even in our day, and especially in their day, you know, had no known cure. They were just isolated. They just sat afar off in some colony by themselves, literally waiting through their miserable lives as their skin peels off their bones, in agony and pain, until they die. That's what they look forward to. They live miserable, wretched lives. That's the same situation that we're in sin. Sometimes we forget how sinful and nasty sin is. We forget that we were those lepers. We were just passing our days, waiting for our miserable lives to come to an end until judgment, and then our miserable lives would have looked much better than the judgment to come. But they're in a hopeless situation. And that's an important foundation. As we want to be thankful, we have to realize, what do I deserve? What would be my situation without the mercy of God? Well, we'd be worse off than these lepers. Because there's not one good thing that we've done in our life. Not one. Not without the grace of God. And to realize that makes us say, hey, I need help. And that's where these lepers came in. They said, look, we're in a miserable, pathetic, hopeless situation that we've got no chance. And so they came to Christ. Remember, where we would be without the grace of God, we can't be thankful. The second thing we see from these lepers is that they had to experience and acknowledge that mercy and grace. You see, all 10 of them experienced the mercy of God. All of them. They were all healed to the same extent. It wasn't that one got healed more than the other 9, and that's why he realized. No, they were all healed. They all experienced the same mercies and goodness of God. And God does that to us. He makes his rain on the just and the unjust alike. He's merciful to all. He's merciful to every one of us. But most people in the world, including ourselves sometimes, we receive the mercy and grace of God and we just go about it unrecognized. We think, yeah, of course the sun came up this day. Of course I have good health. Of course I've got money in the bank. Of course my car runs. Of course my family is a blessing to me. Well, that's not a given. And we often think about it as a given. We often think about it that that's something we should just expect. And we don't recognize it. And we fall into the same trap as those 9 lepers who realized that they had been blessed and then turned not around to recognize it. And so the second foundational principle, after we understand our need, is to recognize it. To acknowledge, God, by your grace, I am what I am. This is what Jeremiah recognized when he made the famous statement. He says, of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Jeremiah went through this terrible phase of depression until he finally got to the point where he realized, Lord, we are hopeless and helpless, but it's of thy mercies that we are not consumed. So they're new every morning. When he acknowledged God is good and his mercy is everlasting, the whole mindset changed. He became thankful. He began to praise God in that circumstance. And so we have to do that. Turn your Bibles over to Psalms. We'll keep a finger there, and Luke will be back and forth between Psalms and the event there in Luke. Psalms, of course, is a book of praise. It's the name Psalms is to mean praise. It means to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And in Psalm 103, the first 5, we actually, this stays in my mind, in Arabic we have a hymn that we sing. The hymn is just a melody of these first 5 verses of Psalm 103. If I had a good singing voice, I'd sing it for you, but I won't torture you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. David finds it necessary time and time again to recall the mercies of the Lord, to acknowledge them. And though no doubt he knew what he'd been through in his life, yet time and time again, as you go through the Psalms, you see him recount these blessings, you recount these mercies in a form of praise, so that he would constantly acknowledge the goodness and mercies of God. He does the same thing in Psalm 100 and verse 4 and 5. He says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations." I like what it says in the Psalms when it says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. God doesn't say that because he desires praise and worship, though he does. But he knows, because in our created being, we were created to praise. We were created to give thanks. And when we do that, we're doing what God designed us to do. And it's good for us. It heals the soul. Which brings us to the second point of how do we practice thankfulness? Well, if you look back, and though it's unstated actually in the event that we read in Luke 17, the most natural thing for a person to do if they have practiced these two principles of understanding the mercies of God and acknowledging the mercies of God, the most natural reaction to that will be to thank God, will be to praise God. And that's what this one leper did, is he turned around with a loud voice and glorified God. He looked at the people who said, you know, you have to say that you're unclean, you have to be a certain distance away from us, we don't want you, we don't want to hear from you, we don't want to look at you. And with a loud voice turned around and praised God. The person who acknowledges the grace and mercies of God will praise him. You can't not praise him. When you look at how good God has been to us, and you think about where would I be without Jesus Christ, and where would I be without the daily mercies of God, you can't go through a day or an hour and think, oh, well, I'll praise him Sunday morning. It's not possible. You're like this leper who looks and says, I was dead and I was living a miserable life and I had nothing to hope for, and now I'm clean. Amen. I've got to praise him. Amen. I've got to say something. I've got to do something. I've got to go back to that person who healed me and fall at his feet and worship him. I remember a number of years ago, we were taking advantage of the Thanksgiving holiday over there, and I wanted to bring up some verses about Thanksgiving, and so I tried to look up the word thanks, which is shukr in Arabic, and you know, through the Psalms, and was baffled to realize that that word didn't exist. The word thanks didn't exist in my Old Testament in Arabic. And so it caused me to, you know, think, why is the word thanks not there, or thanksgiving, or to be thankful? You know, it doesn't exist in the Arabic language, or in the Old Testament Arabic language. And of course, because Hebrew and Arabic are so closely tied, and even more so Hebrew and Aramaic, as I looked back through, I realized that the word that we translate thanksgiving is more commonly translated praise. It's the same word. There is no actual word in your Old Testament that is purely meant as give thanks. To say, like, thank you for, you know, giving me that piece of fruit. That type of thanks, that word doesn't exist in the Old Testament. In fact, it's more of a cultural thing. The Middle Eastern culture, actually, the word thank you really wasn't introduced until a couple hundred years. Middle Eastern culture doesn't say thank you, you're welcome, like the Western culture. So this idea of thanksgiving is infinitely and uniquely tied to the idea of praise. It's something that you can only give to God. So this thanksgiving, that as we read through the Psalms, it is essentially divine praise that only can be attested to God. It's not just saying, yeah, God, thanks for helping me out. That's not what thanksgiving, that's not what the psalmist means at all. It means to be praising God. Amen. It is not just a response of acknowledgement. The word todah, which is the Hebrew word, it literally means to stretch out your hand. It literally means, as you've been given something, that you would raise your hands in respect and awe of that which has been given. And again, it's something that was only designated towards the Creator, towards Jehovah. And that's why, you know, even in the New Testament, you hear about the raising and lifting up of hands. It comes from this Hebrew idea of todah, which means to praise by lifting up the hands, by showing, you know, where your blessings and mercies have come from, that they come from God. And so thanksgiving is not just saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. It's praise. It's saying, God, you're good. I recognize your mercies and I praise you for it. In Psalm 92, in verse 1 and 2, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name. Unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. As I said, it's so much more than just saying thank you. It's the active response of a Christian to praise God for what he's done in your life, in every situation. Thus, the New Testament commandment, give thanks in all things, especially to the Hebrew mind, as they read that, they would understand it to mean give praise to God in all things and all circumstance. Not just say, no, thank God for my truck that doesn't run. No, it's to praise him. It's not just, yes, it's easy to thank God and praise him for the good things. But it's actually saying praise God even in the bad things. Because remember, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And so if we have this mindset, if we actually practice that, of saying, I'm going to thank and praise God in all circumstances because of his mercy and goodness, it makes it impossible to complain. And that's the point. It makes it impossible for you to be a negative, unthankful, ungrateful person. Because you simply can't. You have to simply, every turn that you take, you remember the goodness and mercies of God, acknowledge it, and the response is to praise God and say, God, I'm so glad that you did that in my life. I'm so glad I'm not where I should be by your grace. In short, a thankful Christian is a Christian who praises God. An unthankful Christian cannot praise God. You can't. If you live your life unthankful, you can't praise God. And that brings us to the last point, which is the fruit. Again, this fruit is nearly unspoken in the story as we read in Luke chapter 17, but if you're this leper and you've lived all your life, or however long it was he lived as a leper, and you're healed and you go back and you praise God, how do you think that leper felt? So-so, went back to his house and thought, another day, another dollar. He went back with a smile you couldn't wipe off with a wrench. You know, he was overjoyed. Now, it doesn't say that, but human logic and experience would say that the one emotion that most testified of his life was joy. He was overjoyed. Everyone around him could see that that guy is happy. That guy is just rejoicing about everything. Why? Because he was a dead man with leprosy. And like that, he was healed. He got a life, or got his life back. And that's the exact same fruit the Bible says should come from praise. The most prominent fruit is joy. To rejoice. Many people would think that, and here's really the challenge, is that I rejoice because of the mercies of God. And because of God's mercy and His goodness, I praise Him. I would challenge and say it doesn't work like that. Joy comes as a result of praise. It's not what we do because God is good. We're not joyful because God is good. We're joyful because we recognize it, we acknowledge it, and we return the glory due His name. That's what gives us joy. And that's a big difference than standing around waiting and saying, you know, when God is good to me and God is merciful and God helps me, you know, that makes me happy, that fills me with joy, and there I praise Him because He was good. No. I'm joyful because I praise Him. Because that's what we were designed to do. We weren't designed to be happy. We were designed to praise. And because we do what we were designed to do, we get the result of being joyful. But it's not a two-way street. It's not a vice versa. It's not, well, you know, when I'm happy, I'll praise Him. It won't happen. You'll live all your life, and this is why sometimes we struggle, you know, with the idea of really praising Him. And, you know, I'm sure all of us have done it, and we all, you know, sit through a church service or a devotion, and it just feels like a struggle, you know, to sing a hymn or to talk about the Lord with joy. We do it out of routine, but we think, you know, I just don't feel joyful. I just don't feel happy. I don't feel like there's something inside of me, any kind of emotion bubbling up, you know, to pour out and flood into praise and worship. Because our understanding of praise is wrong. Praise is not emotion-based. It's not something initiated by how we feel. It's initiated by something we do. And that do is to praise. And our common culture mixes the idea of praise and worship and glorification to God. We mix it all together. And again, you could read through and really study the three Hebrew words of praise and glorify and sing. And you realize they have very different tenets and meanings. But that understanding messes us up as we think, you know, I have to rejoice to worship God. No. You have to worship and praise God to rejoice. That's why the Bible here says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because as I do that, as I recount what God has done, you know what that will dwell or generate inside me? It will generate praise. And that praise will generate joy. No doubt this leper, decades down the line, those emotions of being healed wore off a long time ago. And he just, you know, got back into the daily grind. But I guarantee, as if he kept it in the forefront of his mind, so you know what, I was a leper. And Jesus Christ healed me. I'm going to thank Him again right now for that. That joy he experienced on the day of his cleansing will be brought back. But if he waited for the feeling of being healed again, it won't come back. We have to generate it in ourselves as we praise God. I remember, I won't embarrass my mom, but I remember as a kid sitting around the Thanksgiving table and saying things that we were thankful for. And I didn't like it as a kid because I just wanted to eat the turkey and eventually get to the apple pie. But, you know, you sit there and you think about it and you think, oh, I've got to say something I'm thankful for. But I remember at some point as I grew up and I did that, that even as a lost person, and I've continued this tradition with my own family, that as I listen to these people say what they were thankful for and then have to think of it myself, that I started to become thankful myself. I started to be joyful and happy about all the things that I had. And that's the principle, that's the tenet that God gives us. When you don't feel like praising God, remember His benefits. Remember His goodness. Recall the blessings of the Lord. Name them one by one, as the hymn says. And in doing that, we find the incentive to praise God. And as we praise Him, His joy floods our heart. And so that's the challenge for us. Are we thankful Christians? Are we praising Christians in our daily life? Do we carry about the characteristics of saying, you know what? I'm a thankful person. Good or bad, and that thanks comes out Godward in the form of praise. I guarantee it, God guarantees it, that if we do that, the return, the benefit, is to us. To live more joyfully. To live more in the sight of His goodness and mercies. And so, three simple things. Recall and revalue the goodness and mercy of God. To actively praise Him for that goodness and mercy. And thirdly, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Let's pray.